Today I'm at the Assembly Rooms in Edinburgh with John Clancy, writer and director of what could be one of the sensations of the fringe, Fat Boy. So far at the performance that I attended, there was a combination of people walking out and others who absolutely loved the show. Has that been characteristic of your experience so far, John?
Yes, it has. It's actually been characteristic of our work over the last 10 years. We believe Americana Absurdum, Clancy Productions, is the current incarnation of our company, of our crew. We believe in extreme theater. You know, we like to try to create theater that is very broad and very funny, but also very sharp and provocative. It's you know, I guess a simple way of saying is that it's funny political theater. So our theater rarely stays in front of the or behind the proscenium and on the stage. It works to get into the front row, into the third row, and eventually outside of the walls of the theater. It's kind of like rock and roll music. Like, if you like it, then you really want to turn it up and scream and yell. And if you don't like rock and roll music, then you just turn that shit off. So I don't know if we can use that term here, but turn that stuff off and leave. So we want everyone to stay. We want everyone to enjoy it. But we're doing a very particular, extreme sort of a joyous comic aggression to our work, very American spirit, I think. And you know, those who dig it, just eat it up with a spoon. Those who don't, it's best to leave. It's best to step out.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what Fat Boy does, what it is?
Absolutely. It's a comedy. I mean, simple way of saying it's a very brutal comedy, but it's a comedy. It's for the intellectuals out there. It was inspired by Alfred Jarry's classic Ubu Wa, or Pere Ubu, written in 1896, which was at its time extraordinarily obscene and extreme. And there was a riot in the theater the first time he performed it in 1896, and it was what Jerry was doing. He said is basically his show, Pere Ubu, is an attack on the patriotism and values and morality of the well-fed, and that's what Fat Boy does is takes that attempt and basically that goal, and it's a live action Punch and Judy show, and there's Punch and there's Judy, and they are these sort of iconic male female figures. In our show, it's Fat Boy and Fudgy, and Fat Boy is he devours everything he sees. He literally eats a chair. He gets a royalty check. Apparently he was a writer in a previous life time or something. It's a royalty check. He eats the check. He eats the money. He eats his own. And Fudgy, his wife, is this complete slattern. And any actor who steps on the stage besides her husband, Fat Boy, she pulls off their pants and drags them off stage, and then has very loud, exuberant congress with them immediately off stage. And we get to hear her her enjoyment of their union through shouting off stage. And eventually this couple, and she insists that he has to go get money. He finally reluctantly goes out of the apartment to get money, kills everybody in town, takes all their money, comes back, and they celebrate enormously at their newfound fortune. They go on to take over the world. Simply, the second act is it's a three-act piece in 70 minutes with two entr'actes. Second act, he's at the war crimes tribunal, and he's dragged off the battlefield, and he screams, yells, gets in the middle of it. He breaks into this big song and dance number that brings down the house. He kills the one witness, takes the witness's money, and bribes the judge, and then kills the judge, of course, and eats the bribe money because he is Fat Boy, after all, and he is hungry. And then at the end, they've taken over the entire world, and but finally, it's an old school comedy. I mean, there are hooks dragging people off stage. There's the big song and dance number. There's a puppet show. And I think oftentimes people are leaving as well because they're like, what in God's name am I watching? Where does this stop? Where does this begin? Because it's a very full meal.
You've worked with four of the actors on an almost constant basis over many years, including your wife Nancy Walsh and Dave Calvito. For the first time now, you're working with Mike McShane. That must be an interesting experience.
Fantastic experience. That's right. Nancy Walsh, Dave Calvito, there are five people in Fat Boy. Jody Lambert and Matt Oberg are the other two, and we've worked together with Americana Absurdum, with Goner, with other shows for, over the last 9-10 years. So we're a very tight unit. And Mike was, I hadn't met that mic until literally the moment he walked into the rehearsal hall 3 weeks ago in New York, and we sat down that first day. We just had a read through of the script, and by the end of the and I was a little nervous because it's a huge role and it's a new play. It's a brand new play, so I was still finding it as the writer and the director. I'm sure he was a little nervous because it's a huge role and he hadn't worked with this director. And by the end of the first read, literally we were all smiling. We were all like, this is going to be incredibly relieved, but also very excited about what we could do together as a company. And I think we've achieved that. Mike's perfect for this role for two reasons, really. He's known here, of course, for his ability to make people laugh. He's an incredibly funny guy, and this is a comedy, and it's a big, broad comedy. Mike's a big, broad guy, so it was perfect. But there's another side to it. The play goes from joke to joke to joke, and by the end of the piece, it's become a little darker. It's become quite a bit darker, actually. It's become almost quite dangerous. And Mike has Mike is really an actor. He's an improviser, but his real work is on stage. As now, he's done Falstaff. He's done. He just finished a Cyrano de Bergerac out at South Coast Rep in California. And there's a danger and a rage and just a beautiful power that Mike has that Fat Boy allows him to sort of unleash and pour out. And it's gorgeous to watch. I mean, you sit in the house and you're like, I'm laughing at this guy because it's all funny. And now wait a minute, he just killed a bunch of people, but it's still funny. It's all, well, wait a minute, he just, and it grows on you, and you're still kind of chuckling at this monster, and then at the end, the monster is staring you right in the eyes, saying, is it still funny? Is it funny now that I'm talking to you? And and Mike's able to pull it off. It's an extraordinary job. He's really doing just wonderful work.
John has also kindly agreed to provide Theatre Voice with the Fat Boy Diaries over the next couple of weeks, and now we're going to hear episode one of the Fat Boy Diaries, which presumably will cover the rehearsal period and the few opening performances.
Well, it all really began in exhaustion and jet lag, as most things do. We had the company, the entire company except for Mike. We were in London doing American Absurdum, a two-month run there at the Chocolate Factory. We closed that show July 4th. We flew July 5th, and we started rehearsals for Fat Boy July 6th. And we were... Mike showed up, and that all looked good. So we were Reverie Productions, R-E-V-E-R-I-E Productions, was financing us in New York. So we had the rehearsal hall, and we were working, and they put us into this workshop festival. And so we were able to do the show for four nights in front of an audience in New York. So we worked. It's always, I have to give it up to the actors, because whether a show really does beautifully or a show tanks, it's about the actors. They're the ones who show up and have to make it happen. A great actor can take a piece that's not that good, or a director who's clueless, and make the piece look great and the director look brilliant. And if your actors aren't up for it, it doesn't matter what notes you give. It doesn't matter, you know, how brilliant the script is. It's not going to work. And these guys, including Mike, the five of them, just showed up and poured themselves into this rehearsal process. We worked really hard. We only had 3 weeks, which was not enough time. It never is, but certainly for this project. This is a brand new piece, and it's a very ambitious piece. The other work we brought to Edinburgh has played places, had a chance to get polished. This, we're giving birth to this big, nasty, monstrous, squalling child. And so the New York audience reaction, thank God, was very welcoming and very excited. And I was able, I wrote the piece as well, because I've worked in New York for so long, and because the people showed up were by and large colleagues, I was able to sit after the show and get notes. You know, how's it working? Where's it slowing down? What about the writing? And I got, I couldn't even name them all, but Brian Parks, certainly one of them, C.J. Hopkins, Brian wrote Americana, and C.J. wrote Horse Country, who were colleagues of mine. They were able to give me notes, and I was able to look at it and think of it and begin to tweak it. So we did that. We did four nights, and we closed in New York the 31st of July. We flew to Edinburgh the next day. And then, of course, we had to do the show. So we had my apologies to the incredible crew at the ballroom, at the assembly rooms, Giles and Tom and Perry and Jared and the rest of them, miscommunication, and they didn't know that we had a set that had to be built. So they they had 2 days to try to put this thing together while they were teching and opening 8 other shows. So we opened, we spent our entire tech on Thursday building and running and hanging and rigging, and the actors just sitting in the house being beautiful and good-natured about it. But all we had about an hour and a half really to run 2 transitions. This show is, and those people who do know the kind of work we do, we're like smart, poor theater. We're stripped down. It's a chair. It's an actor. It's bang. It happens. It's quick. It's all about the audience and the moment there. Well, I went out of my mind. I wrote this thing, so it's my fault. This is an old school piece. This is a 19th century piece with a little red curtain and footlights and drops, hanging drops, and big hooks dragging people off stage, and it's a beast. So we had time to run the transitions twice between act 1 and 2 and 2 and 3, and not well, you know, because they're huge transitions. And then we opened Friday, so it was really our open dress rehearsal in front of about 200 people. And again, heroically, the actors stood up. The actors literally didn't know, where are my props? What is this guy? Who is this guy, you know, hanging this pipe down behind me? They had no idea, and they pulled it off, and and the piece was born. That was really the birth of the piece. That was our baby, August 6th, and so it worked. And then the next day, we got a little better, we got a little tighter. Critics came in, and I think they're. What's nice about Edinburgh, of course, is the critics are, by and large, pretty savvy. They because they have to be. They're like frontline, you know, soldiers. They see a lot of stuff coming at them, so they're able to say, okay, that's, you know, maybe they're able to be imaginative, and usually they're able to be kind. So if our critics are kind and imaginative, no reviews in the papers have come out yet. Some excellent internet reviews have already begun to hit, so we're thrilled about that. But the most important thing really is that finally now my show is kind of up. The actors have done well. It's Wednesday. Now I get an opportunity to start seeing other work and not just be, you know, obsessed by my little sandcastle and my little, you know, fort of art. Because that the important thing about Edinburgh again is this. It's this community. I'm sitting right now at the Assembly Rooms downstairs bar, and if you've ever seen The Shining, Overlook Hotel, and then Jack Nicholson is in this bar, which is, of course, hell, you know, because everyone, they're giving him mallets to kill his family with and making him drink. But this bar right here, is the benign version of that, because you're here, and you just suddenly you see people. It's like the party never stops in this bar, and you can be here, and you see people. And it's not about the drinking and the shouting and the smoking and the screaming, although that's a very large part of it. It's about the it's about this community. It's about this international network of artists and technicians and administrators and presenters and theater people. I mean, finally, theater people. You know, you're here talking about people's work. I saw one show so far, and I want to see more, and that's what's next. I think next time it's really more about seeing other shows.